Greetings and welcome to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tuned in with us, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next half hour as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will continue and today complete our series of studies on the topic life. Find it, get it, learn it, live it. We are looking at the true God of Scripture, the God of the universe that created heaven and earth, and how He gives life, and how we can find, get, learn, and live that life that He has available. We invite you to get your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 17. That's our starting point for this series of studies, Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 25. And as you get your Bibles, I'll remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive. And at the end of the program, we'll be giving you complete information about how you can contact us here at Grace Alive. We have, of course, a mail address, a web address, and also a toll-free phone number. And if you'd like to contact us in any one of those ways, we certainly would invite and encourage you to do so. And if you contact us this week, this will be the last opportunity we have to make this offer. If you contact us this week, we'd be glad to send you the audio or video cassette tapes of this entire month's series of studies looking at the topic life. Find it, get it, learn it, and live it. So if you haven't had an opportunity to see all of the programs in this series, or if you would just like to go back and review some of the information, we certainly invite you to write and request those tapes. Right now, Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 25. Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 25. As I said, this is our starting point for this series of studies because it talks about the true God and what He gives. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. Paul is preaching here on Mars Hill in Athens. And he has been going around Mars Hill, and he's seen there the altars to all the various gods. And there's one altar in verse 23. I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. So Paul has seen all these altars to all these various gods and goddesses that the Greeks are worshiping. And he found one that's to the unknown, just in case they had forgotten a god. They had this altar to the unknown God. And Paul says, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. I'm going to tell you about this God that you don't know. This true God that made the world and all things therein. And this true God that's different from all the other beings that claim to be God, the thing that makes him different is he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He giveth to all life. And this month, we are starting at that point, starting at the God that gives life and looking at that life that He gives. You know, the one thing that everyone seeks is a better life. You might tell someone sometime, get a life. Or people are looking to live the good life, the high life. There are self-help books. There are shelves and shelves full of them, shelves and shelves full of videotapes to tell you how to have a better life. The thing that all of those things are missing is they don't know the source of life. The source of life is God. The God that gives life is the source of life. And in this month's series of studies, we've been seeking to understand some things about life. We've looked at where you can find life. Life. Find it. Where can you find life? Well, you find life in the pages of a book. Life will not be found in the philosophies of men. Life will not be found in the sports page of your morning paper. Life is found only in a book. It's found in the Word of God. Jesus Christ said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hebrews chapter 4 says, the Word of God is quick. That word quick means alive. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This book that is here on the podium is alive. The life that's in it is the life of God, the life of Christ. And it's that life, it's in that book that we find life. So first, if you want life, real life, true life, you've got to know where to look. You've got to look in the pages of that book. Then secondly, once you know where to look for life, once you've found the source of life, you need to get life. You need to be able to somehow take the life that's in the pages of that book, take the life in the pages of God's Word, and have it reside in you. Have it reside in your heart, in your soul. That happens, as we've seen in our study, as a gift of God. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6 says, but the gift of God is eternal life. So we can only get life as a gift. We can't work for life. We can't buy life. You can never make enough money to buy eternal life. You can never have enough friends and enough influence and enough power that you can obtain life. Life, eternal life, God's life, is only available as a free gift. And it's only given as a free gift to those that believe. Romans chapter 3 tells us God's righteousness, the righteousness that brings eternal life, is offered unto all, but it comes upon all them that believe. What do you have to believe? Paul tells us the gospel of our salvation, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Believe that message and receive God's gift of eternal life. That's how you get it. That's how you get life. You know, most of the world is out there seeking how to get life and trying to connive and figure all different ways to get life that's meaningful. And God simply offers it as a free gift that we can receive by faith. Then thirdly, and we dealt with this last week, once you've found out where life is, and once you've received that life, we need to learn about the life that we've received. And we know to learn, we have to study. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We saw last week that basic division is rightly dividing the word of truth. God makes a basic division in Scripture between the heaven and the earth. His plan and His purpose is that all things might be brought under the authority of Jesus Christ, all things in heaven and all things in earth. And your Bible talks to you about a plan and a purpose that God has to accomplish that on the earth, and a plan and a purpose He has to accomplish that in the heavenlies. And His plan and a purpose to accomplish that on the earth involve the nation Israel and the promises and His blessings that He gave them. And His plan and His purpose to accomplish that in the heavenlies involves the church, the body of Christ, and the blessings that He gives us. And the key to it all is realizing that the minister to the Gentiles, the minister to the body of Christ in Scripture, is Paul. Romans 11:13 says, Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. He is the one that God sent with a mystery message. Romans 16, Ephesians chapter 3, that message that Paul had was a mystery kept secret since the world began, but now revealed. And Paul is the only revealer of that truth about the heavenly program, the heavenly plan, the heavenly purpose. And so we find life, we learn about our life by going to the pages of Paul's epistles, Romans to Philemon in your Bible. That's where we learn about the life that we have in Christ in this dispensation of grace. So we have understood where to find life, the pages of God's Word. We understand how to get life by grace through faith as a free gift of God. We understand how to learn about the life we receive at salvation. We learn about that life that we receive at salvation in Paul's epistles to the church, the body of Christ. Lastly, how do we live the life that we've received? Because, you know, We can know where to find it. We can know how to get it. We can study all about it. But if it never comes to the point where we live that life that we've received, then of what value is it? And in fact, let's look at a passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Really hadn't planned to go to this passage, but it certainly illustrates the importance of living that life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. You see, Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he says, well, I hope that that grace of God that you've received, that life that you've received, and that life that I've been teaching you about, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he had been there, he had taught them, he had studied with them, and he says, I hope all that is not in vain. I hope now that you live the life that you've received. And so today, as we conclude this series of studies about finding life, getting life, learning life, living life, we want to focus on that last point. That last point that really is what all of them are getting to. The reason for God to make life available to you in His Word. The reason for Him to make it available as a free gift of His grace. The reason for Him to give you the information about that life you've received is not just so that it can be an intellectual exercise for you. Not just so that you can say, well, now I've got that under my belt, I guess I can forget about that and go do something, you know, make some money or something. The reason that He did all that is so that life that you find, that you get, that you learn about, can be lived out in this body of flesh. Now, how do we live that life that we've received? Well, we're in 2 Corinthians here. We're in chapter 6. Just go back to chapter 5 and verse 7. How did we get this life that we received? We got it by faith. When we believe the gospel, we get that gift of eternal life. Well, we're going to live that life in the same way that we got it, by faith. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. In another passage, he says, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. As you've received Him, so walk. We walk by faith, not by sight. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse number 13. The life that you live is a life of faith. It's a life that's lived not trusting in your own sufficiency, not trusting in your own understanding, but by faith in what God says. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 13. Paul says this, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It's the word of God that effectually worketh in you that believe. What is the key to having that book work in you? How does that book, once we've found life in that book, when we want to get that life, what's the key to having the life that's in that book become a part of you? What's the key to having the life that's in the pages be in your heart? It's belief. It's the Word of God that effectually worketh in you that believe. When you believe what the book says, then that life that's in it becomes yours. The same thing is true of living that life. When you believe what the Word says, then the life that's in its pages will live out through you. When you believe that those words on the page are the life of Christ, the words of God, and by faith you receive it and accept it, then it lives out through you. That's why it's so important to understand where life is. Because even after you've gotten that life, if you want to live that life, you're going to only live it by faith. You're going to only live it as you, by faith, obey and follow the words on the page. Come with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse 8. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8, Paul tells us this about the Word and about its importance in our growing up, in our becoming mature believers. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Verse 10 says, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. God says, I'm going to give you something that will mature you, that will enable you to grow up in the faith. And that thing that He gave to us that allows us to grow up in the faith, that thing that He gave to us that matures us, that thing that He gave to us that allows us to walk as adult sons. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but I'm putting away those childish things in favor of my adult sonship position in Christ. And we'll talk more about that in just a few moments. But that thing I'm going to give you to mature you is the Word. When that which is perfect, that which is complete, we have a complete book. We have a perfect book. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God is on the pages of that book. And we know that Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Here again, talking about the gifts, and it says, He gave these gifts till a particular time. Till when? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. You see, until the gifts were here, and God ministered through the gifts to the body of Christ, until there was a better way. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, that passage we read, I show you a more excellent way. The more excellent way is a book where every one of us can have the entirety of God's Word in our possession. You realize that if you have in your hand today a King James Bible, you have the entire will of God, the entire purpose of God, the entire plan of God from eternity past to eternity future in the covers of that book. In your possession is the blueprint of the universe. Paul talks in both those passages, 1 Corinthians 13, Ephesians chapter 4, about a perfect man, about perfecting the saints, about a perfect thing coming. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. That the man of God may be what? Perfect. What is it that will perfect you? What is it that will allow you to live perfectly that life that you received at salvation? It's the completed word. It's a book. That same book where that life is, that you can get it. That's why it all, the foundation of all of this is a book that you can trust. That Bible. It ends with living the life that's in that book. In between, you've got to get that life and you've got to learn about that life in order that you might live it. The foundation, though, is a book that has the life, and the goal is living the life. And as you seek to live the life that you've gotten and that you're learning about, it goes back to that book. That book is what's going to perfect you. Self-help seminars won't perfect you. 12-step programs won't perfect you. Psychologists won't perfect you. The self-help section of your local bookstore won't perfect you. The only thing that will perfect you is the Word of God. Because Scripture is given that the man of God, not the child, not the little baby. Remember, Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child. Now I put away childish things. Scripture is for the man of God, that the man of God may be perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto, what's the next word there in your Bible? All good. You know, if there's a good work God wants you to do, it's in the pages of that book. God never tells you to do anything it's not in the pages of that book. And the only way God tells you to do something is through that book. Those times when you think you hear God's voice, you know who that voice you hear inside you is? That's you. That's you talking to you. God speaks to you through the pages of this book. Anything else that you hear is you. God speaks through His Word. So we've got a complete book. And number two, we've got a perfect, complete position. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians. Galatians chapter number 4. How is it that we live this life of Christ? And this relates to that idea of having a perfect book and the man of God being perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says this, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." You are not simply a child of God. You're a son of God. And the word son is used in Scripture is more than just one that's born of someone. It's one that has a standing as an adult in the family. You have received the adoption of children, Ephesians 1 tells us. You've been placed as an adult in the family. And God views you and deals with you as an adult son. In fact, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." He's blessed you with every blessing that He has. He's given you your inheritance. He's given you your inheritance. That makes you an adult son. We need to live our lives. How do you live that life? You live that life by faith in a completed book as an adult son. Not as a child waiting for God to say, go here and do this and do that, to whisper in your ear. But as an adult that's been given the blueprint of the universe and the blueprint of Christ's life living in you. One last passage as we close. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This is the passage you see each week up on the screen in our broadcast at the beginning. It says this, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That verse says, the life that you live now is the life of Christ. How do you know when you make some action if it's you or if it's Christ? Here's how you know. If you take that action by faith in God's word, then it's Christ's life. If it's just you, something you decided to do, then it's you. You go to work tomorrow morning. If you do that because God's word says he that doesn't provide for his own, especially those of his own household, is worse than an infidel, then that's the life of Christ. You're doing it by faith. If you're going to work just because you want to get rich, to have more things, to buy more stuff, to go more places, then that's you. When you walk by faith, when you live by faith, when the word of God works in you, it's Christ's life in you. Life, find it, get it, learn it, then go out and live it. We'd like to help you understand more about how to live that life of Christ that you received at salvation. And if you simply write to us at Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address, www.gracealive.us, and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. If you contact us this week, we'll be glad to send you the audio or video cassette tapes of this entire month's series of studies on life, how you can find it, how you can get it, how you can learn it, and how you can live it. And as always, we trust that you'll be tuned in next week to Grace Alive for a brand new series of studies. And until then, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.